swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, it's a big week. It's a big week for Soccer Matters. It's a big week for the Houston Dynamo. It's a big week in the world of football. And it's a Thanksgiving week. It's a time we're grateful for things. We got a lot to discuss and talk about tonight here. Bevy of great guests on the show tonight. I got Dynamo playoff tickets, updates, our World Cup segment coming up here shortly. Yes, we are hosting the World Cup in 2026 here in Houston. And it's all presented by the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, DaspitLaw.com. 713, call now. In progress, finally, Brazil and Argentina in South American World Cup qualifying. By the way, real problems in the stadium, fights between Argentine fans and Brazilian fans. They finally got this thing underway. Security went into the crowd with clubs. There was a lot of poor behavior there, and, well, off and running right now. For Brazil, Alisson, Emerson, Marquinhos, Gabriel, Augusto, Guimarães, André, Martinelli, Rodrigo, Rafinha, and Jesus there. Argentina, Debo N'Golo, Acuña, Otamendi, Romero, Molina, McAllister, DePaul, Enzo Fernandez, Lo Celso, who missed the last World Cup, Messi, and Alvarez. Lionel Messi pulled the team off the field with the trouble. Actually, the Argentine players, including Messi, went over to try and quell the fans. It didn't do much. They went off the field. They came back, but we are now underway, so we'll keep you updated on that. Brazil and Argentina at the Maracanã in South American World Cup qualifying. By the way, Brazil has never lost a World Cup qualifier at home. So Argentina will look to be the first team to do that. Tonight we're our guests. John Horks, everybody knows him from the U.S. men's national team. He was a part of the U.S. team that qualified for the 90 World Cup, that infamous win down in Trinidad. Former U.S. international, he just stepped down from the Greenville USL job there, doing a great job there as a sporting director and coach. We'll talk to John tonight. Does he have designs on Major League Soccer? One would think he would get interviewed by DC United. Charles Catone, he's the author of the book Pelé, The North American Years, a Tribute. Fantastic book. I don't think anybody's done the time period where Pelé came here from when he landed to when all of a sudden you're drawing 70-plus thousand people at Giant Stadium. Pelé, The North American Years, a Tribute. Charles Catone, great gatekeeper in America when it comes to authors keeping the history of the game alive. And we got Houston Dynamo manager Ben Olsen. A lot of talk tactically here in this one. This isn't going to be just a, you know, I'm going to ask Ben about a number of different things, including, you know, does your possession game have to be dominant here? Are you concerned about execution in the final third and actually producing goals? Because I think if you go into this game, you have to be pretty realistic and say the better finishers are on Sporting Kansas City. But the Dynamo have an exceptional midfield here. They're exceptional defensively. So we'll talk about that as well. All right, here's our World Cup update 2026 brought to you by Soccer Matters. And yes, we are hosting the World Cup in 2026 in Houston. So we recently talked about the loss of the legendary Bobby Charlton of Manchester United in England. So hear this out. So in 1966, Bobby Charlton won both the European and English Footballer of the Year award, as well as winning the World Cup, all in one year. The only World Cup England the Three Lions have ever won. He had three goals in the World Cup, including two against Portugal in a 2-1 win in the semifinals. England would then go on to win the World Cup over West Germany, hat-trick from Jeff Hurst in the final at Wembley Stadium. But Bobby Charlton, I figured this was an important sort of connection since we just lost one of the great legends of the game to remind you what he did in that 66 World Cup to help win that for England. By the way, the captain of that team was Bobby Moore. That's your World Cup 2026 history update. Yes, Houston, Texas, you are hosting the World Cup in 2026 due to your love, passion, support of the game, showing up at matches. You brought it here. Call in number 713-780-3776. I want you to take tonight, again, 713-780-3776. U.S. lose to Trinidad and Tobago in poor fashion. Good news is they advanced to the Copa America. Everything was going to plan, and the U.S. looking far better than Trinidad and Tobago and looking much better than in the first match. A lot more cohesive, possession game working. They're getting Sergiño Dest and Anthony Robinson forward from wide positions. And then Sergiño Dest, who had the assist on the initial goal to put the U.S. up 1-0, it sounded like this. This is soundbite number 7. Anthony Robinson with the diving header after a slip from a center back of Trinidad and Tobago. This is 25 minutes in.
Does it lead to anything? Dest curling it in. Knotted down! What a winning header that was! Anthony Robinson steps in front of a defender. He scores for the second consecutive leg. The U.S. won. Trinidad and Tobago, nil.
Well, at that time, it was a winning goal, but it didn't end up being the winning goal because Anthony Robinson's header, which staked them into the league, it would all kind of get wiped out by a very selfish moment from Sergiño Dest, and Dest would get sent off in this game. Punts the ball into the crowd after the ball went over the end line or the sideline, thought it was a throw-in. Apparently, he was upset at a call he didn't get prior to that. He wouldn't let it go. He got a yellow card. Kept going, and then, unbelievably, I mean, this was out of the theater of the bizarre. Unbelievably, he gets a red card. So here's Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, on this moment.
And that obviously wasn't the right response from Sergiño. He apologized to the group. He said it's not going to happen again. You know, as a team, the players, the staff, we need to hold him accountable. Because it's inexcusable, it really is. And you know, we're very firm with our words after the game. You know, he put a number of guys in jeopardy, made a number of guys do a lot of extra work in this weather, and it's inexcusable. Serge has done a great job of maturing and growing over the years that he's been with the group. You know, for him, this has to be a learning experience. It will be a learning experience. You know how we work. We give people second chances. We work with people. We help them overcome instances like this. So, you know, we'll do the same with Sergiño. He's a talented player, an important part of our team, and we need to have, you know, good conversations with him, make sure we get him on the right track.
All right, so that was Greg Berhalter. Listen to Tim Ream, the captain, and apparently it was a pretty aggressive locker room when it came to calling him out, because this is a selfish act, let's face it. Young athletes make bad decisions. It's not going to be the first. It's not going to be the last. This one was pretty shocking, though, because of the way it happened and the fact that it came on a play that was a throw-in. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to change games. And games can be changed by an absolute disrespect for your teammates and a loss of emotional control. This is one way that a game can be changed that was in total complete control by the U.S., who were pushing for a second goal. And all of a sudden, you put yourself in a situation, and we'll get to the Trinidad and Tobago goals in a second, but here's Tim Ream talking about the red card from Sergiño Dest.
I mean, disappointment, but I think overall it's a complete lack of respect for the guys that are playing, for the guys that are on the bench. You know, a feeling of a lack of respect for the game itself, for the referees. We knew, and we talk about it every time we come down here. Every time you're in a CONCACAF game, that anything can happen.
Okay, so that's Tim Ream. I thought that was well stated there. Complete lack of respect. And then what would happen is Rion Moore would equalize in the 43rd minute, right on the stroke of halftime for Trinidad and Tobago. So this would make it 1-1.
They're in firm control, 4-0 on aggregate and the away goal. But here's some dangerous moments. And that slides in. That Trinidad and Tobago have equalized.
And then Alvin Jones, this is off a free kick. Now, this has got a lot of movement in it, but you got to think that Matt Turner and Cole could have done better with this. It does move a little bit to his right, but Jones obviously hit it with power, but this is a save Matt Turner has to make.
Here's Jones sending it in. Turner punches, but it goes in. Alvin Jones strikes again against the United States. And Trinidad and Tobago have scored twice in the last 15 minutes and have a life.
Yeah, he was trying to parry it wide. It was less of a punch. And that would be the winning goal. So, look, you still go through on aggregate because you scored the three goals in what was a very iffy performance in the first game. The end game was to qualify for the Copa America. I don't think there's any question about that. You're there. But, you know, it didn't feel good. It didn't feel good the way you qualified. Yes, I know. I know what you're saying. Oh, but Glenn, there was no Tyler Adams, no Weston McKennie, no Tim Weah, no Christian Pulisic. I get it. It's Trinidad and Tobago. It's opportunity for others. And really, you got to say the game changer here because of a really, really big mistake mentally, emotionally, was Sergiño Dest. Now, for all of you out there who are telling me, let's send him back to the Netherlands. Let's never have him on the team again. I don't know what you're talking about. He's young. He's your best right back. He's definitely the best footballer with the ball at his feet joining in from the right back position. So you let me know who that other guy is. Okay? Yes. I hear Dynamo fans. Oh, Griffin Dorsey. Well, hold your horses. Let's get Griffin into a camp before we all go off the chains, right? He's got a big game on Sunday, by the way, against Sporting Kansas City. You're going to hear from Dynamo head coach Ben Olsen tonight on the show. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 was the number. So after that, the U.S. goes to 10 men. Here's Anthony Robinson talking about the team's mentality after the red card. Because, you know, you're in shock here watching your teammate do this. I was in shock at home watching this on TV. So here's Anthony Robinson on the team's mentality after the red card.
Obviously bittersweet because every single game, similar to the Costa Rica game, the last game of qualifying, every game we want to win. And we're aware that, you know, away games in CONCACAF are tough. We by no means turned up thinking, you know, it's going to be easy, take anything for granted. And it stings a bit more because, you know, we were comfortable in the game until we go down to 10 men. So it's disappointing. I feel like even after we went down to 10 men, we still wanted to win the game. But in the end, the goal is, you know, making the semis of the Nations League and the Copa America, and we've achieved it. So the best thing we can do now is just turn around and look forward to that.
By the way, the Copa America is here in 2024 in the United States. We will get games in Houston. I'm going to jump the gun here, but Houston can't be bypassed. But what we do know is June 20th, the opener will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. And then the final will be at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. So those are two things that have been announced. But you can bet your bottom dollar you're going to get some games in Houston as a part of the Copa America. I mean, this is incredible with the run-up to World Cup 2026, what we got going on here. By the way, that cryptic Rolling Stones logo showing up that on the We Love Houston sculpture in Edo was pretty cryptic. It's brilliant marketing, frankly. And today they announced the Rolling Stones tour. Here's another big one for Houston. Houston gets the opening date of the Rolling Stones tour in 2024, which is pretty remarkable. I mean, that goes around the world. All right, speaking of the Stones. World's greatest rock and roll band. I don't think you're going to see Bad Bunny at 80 years of age jumping around a stage. I can almost bet my bottom dollar on that. I don't think I'll be around to collect, though, if anybody wants to do the bet with me. All right, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Let's go right now. Pair of tickets. Houston Dynamo Sporting Kansas City playoff single elimination. Dynamo playing to get to the Western Conference Final. Two wins away from the MLS Cup. Again, caller number six right now, 713-780-3776.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Nasbitt Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let me make something clear. I'm not down on Bad Bunny. I like some reggaeton. I'm a Caribbean guy. I got family down there. I just don't think he's going to be performing at 80 years of age. I mean, the fact that these guys sell out. I just love the marketing move by dropping the logo in downtown Houston. It's a big deal that Houston gets the opening day to the tour, because this goes out worldwide. So it's a big deal. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Speaking of a big deal, we got a big deal on Sunday. Houston Dynamo Sporting Kansas City. I'm hearing tickets are moving really well. We're looking forward to that one. We will have the call right here on ESPN 97.5 with the half-hour pregame show before. Would love to get some thoughts from Dynamo fans here tonight, how you're feeling going into this one. 713-780-3776. Dynamo got past Real Salt Lake, winning in penalty kicks in the deciding Game 3, which was massive. Again, 713-780-3776. Let's get your calls. 713-780-3776. By the way, Mexico will play Honduras tonight. That will start at a las ocho y media tonight. Mexico is down 2-0 on aggregate. If they don't reverse that aggregate, they're not out of the Copa America. Boy, that would be a promoter's disaster. Don't forget, they are playing tonight at 8:30, Mexico against Honduras. Honduras got goals from Anthony Lozano and Brian Roches to win that first game down in Honduras. Albert Elise, the former Houston Dynamo, came off the bench in that one as well. Friendly match. Turkey beats Germany 3-2. Why is that important? Well, they beat him a couple days ago. That was the first Turkish win over Germany since 2005. Turkish coach, if you remember, is Vincenzo Montella. And I believe he played for Sampdoria. I'm trying to remember, but I think my mind is working here correctly. He played for Sampdoria, and I remember calling a lot of the Serie A games in the late 90s, and he was a quick, explosive attacking player. But a large portion of that Turkish squad, and if you watch that game in Berlin, it's a huge Turkish fan base there because there's a lot of Turks that live in Germany. And apparently, large portion of Julian Nagelsmann's lineup were born Turks that were born in Germany. So interesting there. The dual national conversation always continues. By the way, Julian Nagelsmann credited the desire of the Turks in this one. Okay. And where was your desire? Would be my question for Julian Nagelsmann, because you are the manager. But there was a lot of Turkish fans there. So interestingly enough, and I know sometimes I talk about the commercialization of sports now here. So the 21st Grand Prix in Vegas, they had the whole Vegas showtime, lasers, drones, thumping music, drivers on risers, smiling, waving. Not everybody was a big, big fan of it. Here's what three-time world champion Max Verstappen had to say about it. He said, quote, "We were standing up there like clowns. The whole weekend feels like 99% show and 1% sporting event. The cheapest ticket, by the way, was $500 with packages. Get this, if you guys are really into Formula One, and you got a cool million to spend, you can get four nights at a hotel, including lodging, champagne, and caviar as much as you can eat." So there you go. Guillermo, you got a cool million? You ready for a little champagne and caviar and Formula One?
I'm ready. I just don't have the quick milli that you were talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. J.J. Watt came out in Houston here, wondering why more fans are not showing up for Texan matches. It's a challenge here. I mean, the Texans are kind of rebuilding in a way. They got an exciting quarterback. I like him, C.J. Stroud. But people have so many options here. So many options. So you better be good at marketing your team. And I don't think it's all about necessarily, certainly with the Dynamo, it's not about people are going to come to you. And it can't just be about winning. But that's what the Dynamo are going to do. I'm predicting they're going to get past Sporting Kansas City. We're going to talk about that in a second. I have two more quick things to mention. Gavi, the talented young 19-year-old with Barcelona. I know my producer, Guillermo Lazo Romero, is upset about this. Basically destroyed his knees. 19 years old. He's going to miss the Barcelona season. He's going to miss the Euros now. A high talent. The good news is he's young. Let's hope he gets back. He tore the ACL, the meniscus, the whole kit and caboodle there. December 21st in the state of Texas, by the way, Guillermo, Barcelona will be here in Arlington. They'll play Club America. Will you go to that as big of a Barca fan as you are?
I would love to, and I would probably do anything in my power, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be in Mexico at the time.
Okay. Did you ever get the Rolling Stones logo on the Barcelona jersey that was out?
No, I did not get that jersey.
Why not?
Money's tight sometimes.
Okay, you know, okay. We may have to work on getting that for you for Christmas. All right. In February, Inter Miami and Lionel Messi is going to play Al Nassr, Ronaldo's team. They're going to call it the Riyadh Season Cup, whatever the blank that is. It's called the Messi versus Ronaldo game. Come on, guys. Get it right. Forget about Al Nassr. Forget about Inter Miami. It's Messi-Ronaldo game. Jeez. I mean, marketing 101, right? I hope Messi isn't driven into the ground by the time this is all over. I mean, we are riding him like there's no tomorrow. So Mexico-Honduras coming up later. All right, let's get into Houston Dynamo talk, because in our next segment, we're going to visit with Ben Olsen, the head coach. So there'll be a lot in that. But let's talk about these two teams. I think there's similarities in a lot of ways between both of them. And the reason I say that is because the way they're entering the playoffs. Now, I will say the Dynamo have been taken to penalties 2 out of 3 games. Sporting Kansas City absolutely obliterated St. Louis, the second best record in all of Major League Soccer. So I don't know who you think the favorite is. I think the Houston Dynamo were the favorite, frankly. They were at home. 713-780-3776. So the rivalry continues. The rivalry doesn't bleed over to this new roster of Dynamo players. They haven't been in that kind of rivalry. I think you don't have to worry about that, because this is simply, everybody knows what's at stake here, right? But the Dynamo players have not been a part of the rivalry in the past. They don't need that quote-unquote so rivalry motivation, that's for sure. I don't know who's saying the Dynamo are the underdogs. I don't think they are. They're the home team. They've been exceptional at home. Now, the rivalry is more of a fan-based thing, so that's good. These are two teams that are coming in with similar momentum. There are many ways to win single elimination games. Sporting Kansas City had 6 goals in 2 matches against St. Louis. Dynamo have been a great defending team this year. Collectively, they've been excellent. Protected their goalkeeper, protected their box. Steve Clark generally doesn't have to make a lot of plays. He does have to, on occasion, come up with the big one. He's done that. And they got off to a great start on the road. I mean, they went to St. Louis and beat them 4-1. A lot of similarities in attack. Both teams can go in transition. Both teams can press. They can repress, win the ball in areas close to an opponent's goal, and turn that into immediate shooting opportunities. The Dynamo have wonderful combination play, which is now accented by width with Griffin Dorsey's emergence. Sporting might have a little bit more capability from long range. The Dynamo don't score a lot of goals from outside their box. But the Dynamo got to win the possession battle, and they got to do it by a larger margin for me than they did against RSL. This will enable them to control this game. Then they're going to have to be sharp when the ball turns over, prevent the transition. And the chance creation, I think in game 3, The Dynamo had some wonderful chances. Griffin Dorsey, Amin Bassi, Coco, all had great chances. And that, to me, is the biggest concern here going into this. It's not the concern that they're going to play well. It's the concern that they're going to have that one clinical moment, you know, from the standpoint of scoring goals. Or it might take two. It might take two. I think you're going to need two goals to beat Sporting Kansas City at home. I think this is going to be tight. The Dynamo had those chances against RSL. But again, it's not a history of players up front that have been big goal scorers. Oh, I hear somebody out there going, oh, Amin Bassi, it's a lot of penalty kicks. Coco has struggled in the finishing department, which, by the way, him and Panama are going to the Copa America, so congratulations to him. Corey Barrett had the one that was knotted back from Hector Herrera. So Sporting Kansas City, they have the better finishers. Polito, Shallowy, Russell, I think they have the better finishers. Dynamo can defend them. And maybe they have a slightly big, you know, an edge when it comes to having a better nose for the goal. And again, the Dynamo, one of the best collective defending teams in the league, one of the best possession teams, defend their box well. You got the beautiful axis of Artur. Artur is going to be huge, along with the two Dynamo center backs, Eric Sviatchenko and Mikhail and Artur, because Alan Pulido has 14 goals, but Alan Pulido is also a playmaker. He also can hold the ball up. He's got quite the toolbox of elements to his game as a center forward. He can hold the ball, he can buy you time, he can help you move up the field, he can check back into midfield, and he can get turned, and he can finish, or he can lay on a threaded eye-of-the-needle pass, you know, to runners like Gadi Kinda, Johnny Russell. So the way they defend the striker is going to be big. You know, they had to do it against Chicho Arango. We saw what he did. We saw what a high-level striker in MLS looks like when that guy came on, right? He changed the game. And the Dynamo did well against him in Game 3. So a lot of really, really interesting stuff here. We got to get Griffin Dorsey forward. That's a big one. I think he's going to have an advantage. He's going to be going up against Tim Leibold because Logan Ndembe got injured. That means he could force the likes of Shallowy and Gadi Kinda to defend more. So we got to get Dorsey up the field. There's just a lot to really sink your teeth in. You got two good goalkeepers, Steve Clark, Tim Melia. By the way, you don't want to go to penalty kicks, in my opinion. Doesn't mean there isn't time for a first, but Tim Melia has never lost in penalty kicks. So for me, the Dynamo need to win this in 90 minutes. That said, there's always time for a first. So if it goes to penalty kicks, it doesn't mean you're not going to potentially advance. Artur, Hector Herrera, Amin Bassi, Coco, this wonderful midfield that can keep the ball. They're going to have to do it against Radoja, Remy Voltaire, and Gadi Kinda. So it's kind of the Dynamo box midfield against Sporting Kansas City. And if they can get a large portion of the possession, it goes a long way in controlling this game. And I hope they can elevate that, you know, another 10% than they had against Real Salt Lake. But they've been an excellent team defensively. Back four, the signing, and we've said it over and over, Eric Sviatchenko, you can't undervalue the importance of that signing, getting that European aura, absolute pro, Celtic, Midtjylland, Denmark. You just see it when he carries himself in a game. And, you know, his starting positions as a center back are excellent. His reading of the game, excellent. It's such a perfect guy to have next to Mikhail. And the Dynamo don't yield a lot of shots. So there you go. This is a big one. Now, some of you out there might say, yeah, it's okay. The Houston Dynamo, you know, have already overachieved. Sure. You don't get to this point very often. You don't get this close. You're two games away from it. You have a team that can get there. There's no question. Steve Clark in goal, Escobar, Mikhail, Sviatchenko, Dorsey. I'm imagining it's the same go-to for Ben Olsen. Don't know this for sure. Artur Herrera, Bossy, Coco. And Coco tucks in that really dangerous piece of space. It's kind of like an area where you can get a lot of people to hesitate mentally when it comes to pressuring the ball. It's why you see a lot of goals scored there, the corners of the box. So when he tucks inside, it does force decisions for Sporting, especially when Griffin Dorsey carries the ball forward. And that's where I think Kinda and Shallowy are going to have to help as far as defending Dorsey. But I think you'll like the Ben Olsen interview. There's a lot there in that. Sporting under Peter Vermees, you heard that interview in the past. It's over at our YouTube, Soccer Matters site. That's where you get all the interviews. Go over there. We would love for you to subscribe because it's where you can get all the good Dynamo content. And there's a lot more tactics coming here. We're trying to break it down for you in a bigger, bigger way. Anything to add about where they can get more information, Guillermo? Because you've been doing a great job getting this stuff all posted and a lot of our videos out. So we're really going strong on this. We want to get a response from you. We want the likes. We want the views and all that stuff because it's what makes the world go round now. It helps keep us on the air.
Yeah, so if you just head over to any of our social media, it can be Soccer Matters Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock Instagram, and if you look at the link, there's a list of every social media outlet that we have. It includes the Twitch channel, it includes the YouTube channel, it includes the ESPN podcast. So just pick your poison and go into the show. Get in there.
Go for it. We want feedback. We want you to tell us what you like about the show. We want you to listen in on the podcast. You can subscribe at Google, Apple, Spotify, all these good spots. You can get it. Get it here at ESPN975.com as well. There's a variety of places to pick it up, but it's a great primer. And I always try to make sure I'm helping you maybe get set up for the game a little bit, right? Oh, man. Can't wait till Sunday. Dynamo Sporting. It's going to be good. It's going to be a great game to call. I want to call another winning game. I want to get to that Western Conference Final. Those Dynamo fans want to get after it. HoustonDynamo.com for tickets. Oh, what a song. I guess this was the great anthem for stadiums for a long time. No question. All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We're going to start you up because the fifth caller right now at 713-780-ESPN, pair of tickets to Houston Dynamo, Sporting Kansas City, single elimination. This is playoff soccer. Let's go Orange.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Okay, welcome back to Soccer Matters. As everybody knows, the Houston Dynamo playing Sporting Kansas City. This is single elimination. This is big time. It's Shell Energy Stadium. You get over to HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. And better than that, guess what? We got the coach here right now. He is Ben Olsen. He joins us now. Ben, thank you very much for coming on.
Of course.
All right. How much are you dialing down on Sporting Kansas City now as you get closer to the game?
Starting to, yeah. The bye week, usually in the first week, we try to leave it alone. And then, on the turn of the weekend coming into this game, slowly drip it in and build it. It's a lot of days in between these games, and I think it's a real dance to deal with a bye week because you want to work on things. Some guys are gone. Some players are, gone for international. Some guys really need to rest and get the bodies back and get the minds back. But you also need to turn the screw a little bit at times and keep the group sharp, ready to roll for Sunday. So I'm looking forward to it. Today and yesterday a little bit Tomorrow we'll do a little bit more, and then we'll get off for Thursday. And one thing nice about the Sunday game is these guys can step away and they can go have Thanksgiving with their loved ones, and then we'll get back Friday and Saturday, and it'll be a full court press at that point.
Ben Olson joining us, Houston Dynamo head coach. It's been an outstanding year. They are one game away from the Western Conference Final. We'll take on Sporting Kansas City this Sunday. I urge you to get out to the stadium. Get your tickets, HoustonDynamo.com. I know you leave no stone unturned. I also heard you this week, Ben, talking about you got to be careful that you don't want to overload your players with too much information.
Well, Kansas City and Houston, we're both here for a reason, right? We've managed to kind of figure out who we are, and throughout the year, there's always tweaks in styles that we play against, right? And fortunately, we've played them twice. They've seen us obviously the same amount, so we have a good idea of who they are. That's in some ways it's who they've always been. And Peter does such a good job in that structure. And there's not a lot of easy ways to go and stifle them. I lost my train of thought there. What was the question?
Well, I just, you know, that you had talked about information and how much you dissipate to the team, and that you had mentioned earlier in the week that you were very careful about not overloading them, you know, finding the right balance, I guess.
Well, I think we're still going to go about prepping for them in the same way we prepped, you know, almost every team this year. I don't think we have to panic and put 5 days in a row of meetings about, you know, them offensively or them defensively. You know, we'll stick to what has worked up until this point. You know, maybe we our eyeballs are on them a little bit more because of the importance of the game and the time we've had. But again, one of the tricks of, I think, coaching is boiling down a complex game to a few different points on the offensive side, defensive side, because frankly, players, you know, I don't think they can handle that much. They, you know, over the course of the season, hopefully they have a good read on who we are and what makes us tick and how we want to go about it. And then as far as the adjustments, you know, if you give them 15 adjustments, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So narrowing it down to a few little tweaks here and there, and then sticking to what has worked for us, it seems to be, you know, at least the way I go about things.
Ben, speaking of things that have worked, you've put together a fantastic midfield. It's been fun to watch. It's a great possession-oriented midfield. I mean, how much is just the simplicity of having a great night of possession at home against Sporting Kansas City in the essence of maybe taming them a little bit and tempering their transition game, which we know is a good one?
Yeah, they can. I've said this before. They're a different type of team than Salt Lake. Salt Lake ended up being more direct, you know, front four coming at you. Kansas City can do that. They can come direct on you, but they also stretch you out in a big way, and they can play through their midfield. I think their central midfielder is a little bit better than Salt Lake's. So we're going to have to deal with a few different areas of how they go about attacking you, whether it's out wide, and they can build in the right way. They can hit you direct. They have some Polito coming underneath as kind of a 9.5, really. Causes some trouble with overloads. So that's what they do. They've got a bunch of different ways to hurt you. So we'll just have to be at our best. But we have principles. We have ways to go about all this stuff. It's just a matter of can we put it into play on game day. And as you said, if we have the ball, they don't, and they have to worry about it. So it's important for us to, of course, stick the knife in when we can and transition, but also be patient and go the other way and look for higher percentage chances by switching the point of attack or being good with the ball and trusting each other and trusting our shape and spacing. So all that stuff is important in every game, but in particular when you're going against a good attacking team like they are, just to have less reps on defense.
execution. You guys get into the final third. I thought you did a good job of that against RSL. You've done a good job of that pretty much all year long once you got it cooking. Coco, Amin had real good chances against RSL. Are you concerned about the execution side of it?
I'm not concerned about it, but it definitely needs to be good on the night if we're going to get through. It's just, as the playoffs go, it gets tighter and the chances become less and less because you're just going against better teams each time. So Kansas City's very stingy. The back four doesn't they don't get exposed very often. So we'll have to find ways to kind of fix them and maneuver them in the right ways. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're not getting a ton of shots like we would against a really wide open game like Salt Lake. So yeah, you know, if you get less, you better be efficient and be sharp on the night in front of goal. But this is everything. You have to be sharp in front of goal. You have to be good in transition defense. You got to be good with the ball, right? At this point, you got to be good with everything. And this is the trick. This is why, that's the focus. It's just everybody has to show up. We can't have two or three guys not at their best. We got to finish out balls. We got to be good defensively. Everybody has to play up to their standard. So that's the only way to do it, unfortunately.
Thin margins. This is why it's a great game to get out if you're a fan. HoustonDynamo.com. It's a Dynamo sport in Kansas City. It's a rivalry that has a lot of history. I'm not sure this roster of Dynamo players maybe understands it, certainly from the playing standpoint. You know, back to the final third. Do you think at times there's an over-dependence on Hector there? Do you think that people might bypass opportunities where they should be accountable and finish and look for Hector? And I know you want him on the ball, of course, but I don't know. I just was curious to hear your thoughts on that.
I'm not sure what area. I mean, in our attacking final third, is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Well, he's got 17 assists. Is that what he's got?
Yep. Regular season.
So I would say this, getting him the ball in the final third is a pretty good idea just because he has 17 assists. He's definitely, you know, when it comes to final actions, he's a part of a lot of goals. So I don't blame them for giving, I'll never blame anyone for giving Hector the rock. Are there times that we could pull the trigger and open them up with some shots, make maybe a better decision in the final third? Yeah, I think they're there. I don't think it's something that is that, that's not something we talk about or overly concerned with, like, you know, playing through Hector in moments or getting him the ball. I mean, that's a natural thing to find him if he's open, just because of the quality that he has. We have other weapons, though. You know, Amin's able to, you know, he's got final balls. Coco's produced a bunch of final products. Now we have Griffin and Nelson who can give us a little bit of that. Corey floating around helps out in the offense. And I don't know. I would like to, you know, we have not in, we don't have a lot of goals from outside the box. You know, we're right around the box. Don't have a lot of big time strikes on goal. And I'd love us to do that a little bit more. The times we've done it, it's a little hit or miss. A lot of them end up in the fan section behind. So yeah, I think we could open teams up with some more accurate shots.
There's many ways to win games. We know that. There's many ways to lose games, as we learned last night with the U.S. national team. I say this respectfully. Do you want to avoid penalty kicks in this game based on Melia's history and win this in regulation? Did the Dynamo have to win this game in regulation?
No, we'd certainly like to. That's the plan. That's we're not going out for this game to go to penalty kicks. I don't think KC's going to have that in their mind either. We've been okay in penalty kicks this year. I think we've made quite a few, and I would have faith in us if we got to that point. It's a new team. I don't know if as much as I think that the rivalry is still there with the fans, and I know Milius had a a pretty good record with that stuff. So, hey, he's a good goalkeeper in that way. But Steve, we trust Steve too. If we got to there, I think Steve's done fine, and we got good shooters. So wouldn't be the end of the world. But we'd like to get after it and make sure it doesn't come to that. Yeah.
Ben, it's been a remarkable season heading into this. I know you want more. We know that is your mantra as a player and as a coach. Are you enjoying this? Because you know, I get the sense you have to be enjoying this. I mean, it's a heck of a run. It's a heck of a turnaround. There's just so many positives right now. You don't want to let that go. You don't want to fall back on that. But are you enjoying it? And I'm talking about you. I know the team is enjoying it, but you.
Yeah, thanks for that question. I am. And I don't think back a lot. I'm pretty day to day. So I don't, but I am enjoying this year. There's been a lot of joy to coming back into coaching with this group and how it's all played out this year. It's been a fun ride. It's been the most enjoyable season I've ever had. I've said that publicly, and part of that is my energy's high, and I'm re-energized for the job after, you know, kind of stepping away and coming back. But to come back into, you know, the fold and have a team that plays in this way and with joy, and that there's real love within the in the locker room, and it's just been, it's been an enjoyable year. Again, I'm thankful for that. I know it's Thanksgiving, so I am thankful for this group and this new opportunity and this new journey that I'm on with my family. And overall, I didn't think it would be this enjoyable.
Great week to be thankful. Thanks for reminding us about Thanksgiving. Also, we're thankful that you've given us your time so many times on this radio show, Ben. Keep it going. Best of luck on Sunday. We're looking forward to it. We have the call right here on ESPN 97.5. That was Ben Olson. Ben, thank you very much.
Of course, Glenn. Anytime. See ya.
All right. That's Ben Olson. That'll do it as the head coach gets ready for Sporting Kansas City on Sunday. And again, we have the call right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm and Lamont Brands. LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats, all to benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation.
ESPN.